This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. According to Meeting Place, USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is seeking public comment on the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine's petition to amend federal animal welfare law pertaining to research facilities. PCRM believes the intent of the Animal Welfare Act is to authorize research facilities to undertake procedures likely to produce pain or distress in animals only if there are no alternative procedures. But ambiguities in the law have allowed facilities to take just cursory deliberation regarding alternatives. PCRM would like a definition of alternatives added. APHIS will accept public comments until the week of May 25th. The Rural Energy for America program was established in the 2002 Farm Bill and renewed in the 2014 Farm Bill. There are three types of assistance available through REAP: grants, guaranteed loans, and combined grants and loans. Midwest Wind Energy Center Director Lisa Daniels explains the renewable energy technologies eligible for REAP assistance are any projects that save energy, be that electricity, propane, natural gas, or diesel fuel. This would include dairy pumps and cooling systems, efficient lighting and ventilation, irrigation equipment, industrial motors, and more. Funding is available all year round, and applications are accepted throughout the year. Rural small businesses and agricultural producers are eligible to apply for REAP funding.
For the rural small business applicants, you have to be in an area that has a population of 50,000 people or less. And there is a tool online that can help you determine your eligibility for your rural small business on our website, MidwestWindEnergyCenter.org.
Daniel says there are state rural development energy coordinators to help people apply, but people can also use a grant writer.
If you feel like there's too much paperwork or it's not your forte or you're getting out in the field and don't have time to do an application yourself, there are grant writers out there. Your rural development energy coordinator will know of any grant writers in your region.
For more information and resources, you can visit MidwestWindEnergyCenter.org. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. Winter is over and spring is here, but livestock producers shouldn't put winter completely behind them yet. Now is the time to evaluate winter care programs, specifically winter nutrition for the cow-calf operation. Research is showing that the winter feeding program at a cow-calf operation separates profitable farms from less profitable operations. It depends a lot on stored feed, says University of Illinois beef cattle specialist Dan Shike.
How much stored feed are they having to purchase, and what is their winter feeding program? We would like to graze as many days as we can, but if we can't graze, we have to feed them something, and what's the least cost approach?
Least cost only works if the cows meet acceptable performance standards. These are to maintain appropriate body condition, to calve once a year, and to wean off as heavy a calf as possible. But there's more.
We've not given much consideration in the past to what is happening to the fetus that's inside. We focused on the cow, we focused on that calf that's nursing her, and yes, we want to make sure we get her bred, but we haven't really thought about, okay, now the cow's bred, and not only is she nursing that calf, but she also has a developing fetus inside, and the nutrition and the management that we're imparting on that cow also could have impacts on that developing fetus. And there's plenty of data from human epidemiological studies to other animal models suggesting that maternal nutrition or nutrition during gestation can have lifelong impacts on the progeny.
The results with beef cattle are mixed in this area of study and varies from region to region, mostly as it relates to available forages. This seems obvious, but the clear message is if the cows are in poor body condition and not being fed enough, there is a great deal of risk to hurting the calf. Under winter feedlot conditions, this means the properly managed cow produces a calf which eventually yields better marbling. Heifer calves kept for breeding benefit from good nutrition in the womb, too. They weigh more, mature earlier, and have better conception rates.
All this later in life, when they're a year or 2 years of age, was set when they were 3 or 4 months as a developing fetus through the mid and late gestation. Mid gestation is when a lot of the fetal development occurs. Late gestation is where a lot of fetal growth occurs. Now, on the other side of that, what we've seen is if your cows are in good body condition, if you keep them in that body condition score 5 and 6, that we always tell producers that they should, a short-term restriction doesn't have a large impact. But if the cow's already thin, if she's a body condition score 4, if she's already on that marginal line where you should be concerned about her and you're restricting her, you should anticipate that you could be restricting that fetus. Because if she's in good condition, even if you're not feeding her enough, she'll mobilize body reserves. Some of that extra body condition she's carrying, she'll mobilize those reserves and still supply the appropriate nutrients to the fetus.
Again, that was University of Illinois beef cattle specialist Dan Shike. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh.